Hey, you want that to go?
To go? Hey, they're selling like hotcakes. Our first takeout is from the publishing world. Who's Your Daddy? It might make a decent subtitle for the Kitty Kelly bombshell book du jour. Her biography of Oprah Winfrey hits the stands this week, and while it promises much in the way of tell-all secrets about the most powerful woman in global media, such as discovering but not revealing who Oprah's real father is, perhaps what Oprah a biography ends up delivering most is the impression that, with a few notable exceptions, Oprah is surrounded by some of the most fiercely loyal employees and associates who protect the big O above all. Joining us now to talk about the Kitty Kelly biography is Patrick Henry Bass, takeaway contributor and senior editor for Essence magazine. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. Good to be back.
Great to talk to you. Now, you know, the publication of this book, in some ways, it seems to me, is the collision of two very powerful women in media. You got Kitty Kelly up against Oprah Winfrey. Who comes out the best, do you think?
This week, Kitty Kelly. This is a huge publishing event. Random House took a tremendous gamble in signing up Kitty Kelly 4 years ago when Oprah was at the height of her popularity. She touched the book. It instantly went to number one. This book she didn't touch, and it's instantly going to number one, in large part based on Kitty Kelly's brand and some very shrewd marketing from the Random House people, in which they've painted Kitty Kelly as a victim.
Well, does the book deliver in terms of insights about Oprah Winfrey? And we'll talk about the father revelation, which is pretty interesting all by itself.
And anyone who's read any of the Kitty Kelly books over the years, from Jackie O to her vivisection on the Bush dynasty, will not be disappointed. There are no huge bombshells or revelations about Oprah Winfrey. One of the stories that I was sort of surprised by, I'd heard it before, but now it's been confirmed, at least through Kitty Kelly's unauthorized biography, is that she shook down Aretha Franklin for $100 as a juvenile delinquent. How you like that, Celeste, in Ohio? And there's plenty of stuff like that in there.
Oh, that's good stuff. Well, listen to this. Here is Kitty Kelly responding to questions on the Today Show about the issue that Kitty Kelly has discovered who Oprah's real father is, but she's not telling.
I spent 3 days with her Aunt Catherine.
Who's really her cousin.
And during that time with her, she told me who Oprah's real father was.
Mm-hmm. You don't reveal the identity?
No, I don't.
Because why not? I mean, if you reveal all of her other so-called secrets, why not say, Oprah, this is your father?
An unusual twist on the tell-all model.
Well, this is in large part, you know, Kitty Kelly being quintessential Kitty Kelly. I mean, there was really no outlet for her to go on to talk about, the book. So when she went on the Today Show, you know, she did this tantalizing.
Today Show is not an outlet to sniff at.
I'm saying, but that's just about it. I mean, there are very few television outlets that Kitty Kelly is on. And normally, Kitty Kelly, since doing the Jackie O book in 1978, she was a staple on the Tonight Show. You would normally look for her to be on The View. You would look for her to be on just about every television station, minus television. Kitty Kelly's mainly relying on this form called radio, yeah. Right?
Well,
newspapers.
What's the upshot? I mean, okay, so she knows who the real father is. Presumably, Oprah knows who the real father is. What is this, like a sequel? Father going to be trotted out?
No, John. The upshot really is that we're talking about this book. But the true upshot really is that this takes a crack at one of the most substantial relationships that Oprah Winfrey has ever had, and that was a relationship with her father, Vernon Winfrey. And if you do a deeper dive into the book, the fact that her father has participated in this book is raising many questions, because she looked at her father as a stalwart and a rock. Oprah has a tremendously complicated relationship with her mother. She doesn't have her mother's phone number. She looked at Vernon Winfrey as the role model in her life who helped her turn things around. She credits him in large part for her success. So the fact that he and her aunt, two stable forces in her life, have turned against her, at least in the pages of Kitty Kelly's book, is raising questions.
Well, you know, I'm getting from you, Patrick Henry Bass, there are some insights in this Kitty Kelly book.
Well, after reading the book, I did need a shower.
All right.
You know, there's a lot of scatological stuff, and she reveals a lot of information. There's nothing substantiated about Oprah visiting the Isle of Sapphos, or whether or not Oprah has a permanent vacation home on the Isle of Sapphos, but the relationship of Gail is deeply explored here.
All right. Gender, sexual orientation, it's all the themes that Kitty Kelly brings to the table in Oprah, a biography. Patrick Henry Bass, thanks so much.
Hi, and Oprah, I meant no harm.
And now for something completely different, we go to Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our sports contributor, and we're talking about hockey today. Time for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Clearly, I'm rooting for the Detroit Red Wings. But, you know, we had one of our producers saying, who cares about the playoffs? Every team gets to play in them.
Who cares about
hockey? That's funny. Who cares about hockey?
Sorry.
Hey.
Well, this year we potentially might see a repeat of the Pittsburgh Penguins, but that's going to be a little bit hard to do, because I look back in the history. Before, in the 70s, You know, you had people that did that. The Canadians won four in a row in the 80s. The Islanders won four in a row. The Oilers won four in a row. The last repeat was Detroit in the 90s. So looking at current trends, it's going to be hard for the Penguins to win again.
Yeah, plus there's some really good teams out there. Oh, Chicago is looking really good. Detroit, like I said, is looking very good. The Capitals.
So the best team, the team that everyone thinks is going to win, is the Washington Capitals. Their record is 54-15. They have 121 points, and that's in the East. Also coming out of the East, the Penguins, again, and the New Jersey Devils are always dangerous.
Devils are two seed.
There we go. Yeah. And then in the West, got the San Jose Sharks and the Blackhawks. But the Cinderella story is the Phoenix Coyotes. And we talked about this earlier in the year, where the Coyotes coach, Wayne Gretzky, left 2 days before the season because the team was in disarray. Now, they had an amazing comeback story. They ended up with 107 points throughout the season, and they've ended up having a great season.
Coyotes playing hockey.
The great one leaves, and they have a great, I know. No. But they're a great team. They're really nice players on the Phoenix Coyotes. So, you know, oftentimes in hockey, and especially this past season, we have seen individual players come out as just like incredible athletes.
So the best player in the league is Alex Ovechkin. Part of Ovechkin's a dirty player. He's been suspended twice this season. He's the opposite of Sidney Crosby. And if you remember Sidney Crosby's name.
Yeah, in the Olympics.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when they were winning, the Russians were losing Ovechkin's team. They didn't play well in the Olympics. Ovechkin was seething in the background, so this should be Ovechkin's time to shine, is the NHL Finals.
Well, what do you think? Good games? Good watching? Or is my producer right that there's no reason to
watch? No. This year, hockey is definitely worth watching. You should definitely watch your hockey.
And go Wings.
You going to call the cop?
I'm going to call it. Washington.
We're
going with
Ovechkin. We're in the Capitals.
He's got
okay.
a lot to prove right Caps. Now. He's got to make it happen.
Go Caps. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, the Takeaway Sports Contributor. Coming up, micro-lending. It's supposed to help the poor, but on the ground, does it? When you get into the devil in those details, does micro-lending actually help low-income people? We're going to talk about that in a moment.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.